Gold 92.5.
Driving the Gold Coast home. The Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
It's great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back.
I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
It's the Rush Hour Gold 92.5. Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker with you. We've just given away our Red Hot Chili Pepper tickets, but I'll tell you what we do have coming up after the news with Tegan is $700 cash. We got our birthday game back. Three celebrities, guess the year that even one of them were born correctly, and you win $700. We'll get to that straight after the news.
I feel like I need a holiday after a holiday. I was really excited to go away this weekend. Corey and I and the kids got an opportunity where there was a free weekend, and I got a deal on Groupon. You on Groupon? Cheap deals. You know, they've like trying to give resorts away that, you know, if they're trying to encourage a low period. Anyway, I'm on it and they send me through notifications, and I noticed that there was this place up in Caloundra, and it looked great, like a fun kids resort. It had, you know, buckets and slides and water park and jumping pillows and kids club and all sorts of stuff. So I thought, perfect, let's book that in. This weekend we had free and it was a 3-night deal. So I drove up Friday night after we finished here on air.
Did you come back today?
And just got back this morning.
Really?
Yeah, drove straight here from the Sunshine Coast. And it's always one of those things when you go away with your kids, you know, you kind of want to, you know, go away as a family and spend quality time together and have fun and laugh and splash about in the water and do all of those wonderful things. And then, you know, get moments throughout the day where you're sort of sitting back, relaxing, maybe having a cocktail. I'm on a shake cleanse at the moment, so I was drinking soda water. Maybe actually that's my problem. Maybe it was because I wasn't drunk that I didn't enjoy my weekend.
No, I think it was. I think it was, Margaret. How come you didn't enjoy your weekend? What was it? Because the kids just dragging and nagging.
Just dragging and nagging and fighting and hurting themselves and whinging and not listening. And I feel like I yelled at them more than I ended up laughing with them. And it just was that constant battle of overparenting all weekend. You know, if we're at home over the weekend, they just go. They be, they play, you know, they play in the swim in the pool. I don't really have to supervise them because we're open plan living and I can see them and hear them from wherever I am, and they can all swim, you know. So it's sort of limited. It's very passive parenting when you're at home, you know, because they're safe and you know what the confines are of your home. Whereas when you're away, you kind of parenting a little bit more because, you know, there are dangers and
there's random
people and, you know, swimming pools that your kids aren't used to and whatnot. I found myself just consistently parenting and being mad at my kids all weekend on some level. You know, they're 3, 4.5, 7, and 8. And I just find like they're all at different stages in that one knows she has the answer to everything. The other one, he doesn't listen.
Well, you're lucky.
One whinges and cries and fights with his brother. And then the other one, she just wants to be on me. And I just want her to be over there playing with everybody else like all the other kids are. And so I found myself at the end of it, like I wanted to leave last night. I was like, right, one more, we're going home. And I think I said that maybe 10 times over the whole weekend. I said, I will put you in the car and we will go home.
That's when you know you've had a bad holiday, when you can keep your kids in line when you're at home saying, don't make me take you back to Caloundra again. if you don't clean your room, if you don't do, we will go back, we'll go on holiday. We will take you on holiday if you don't start behaving yourself.
It was a nightmare. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, you treat them, take them away, think this is going to be a great experience.
They don't care.
And you end up cursing yourself for it. And you think, what did I do that for? Why did I consider them? Next time, I'm not going to consider them.
Just go
I'm going to consider myself, and I'm going to go away on holidays without them.
Go get back to drinking, Margo. It'll all be okay.
I needed a cocktail in hand.
Margo, drinking is how you ended up with 4 kids in the first place.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
I'm looking forward to getting into this, Margo, because you and I had a very similar incidences happen over the weekend, and I'd love to know who's in the right and who's in the wrong with regards to what went down.
Yeah, well, we touched on it a little bit last week with the motorists and the cyclists, but I feel like as a pedestrian on the footpath, I'm now head-to-head with the cyclists. Last weekend, I went for a run between Surfers Paradise and Currawa Surf Life Saving Club here out the front of where we are at Broadbeach, and I felt like it was I was always contending with either another runner, walkers, or cyclists. And I feel like the cyclists get really annoyed at you, like they beep at you, but I don't know which way they're coming from because they're coming from behind me. So I have to look to then decide which way to go, left or right. And by the time I've looked to see which way I need to go, they're zooming up past me, shaking their head, annoyed at my lack of, I guess, consideration and etiquette for them. And I'm like, well, hang on, this is a footpath. I'm on foot, you're on bike, get on the bloody road. Isn't that what you're all up in arms about? You want to be on the road?
I almost got taken out yesterday in a run during down around Palm Beach because of a cyclist. And exact same scenario as you just painted. Then they're like, ding, ding, like move aside. It's a footpath.
Yeah, and they look legitimately annoyed.
So, I actually felt guilty because I'm like, oh, God, I was in her way and stuff like this.
Must have been in the wrong.
But then when I thought about it, I went, you should be on the bloody road. But we don't know the rules.
What are the rules?
A man does by the name of Braden Murphy, who is the senior sergeant of the traffic department here on the Gold Coast. Look, he's a head honcho. He knows the rules. I don't know his exact title.
I hope so.
Mate, who's in the right, who's in the wrong? Can cyclists ride their pushies on the footpath?
Okay, cyclists can ride their pushies on the footpath, but they have to stay to the left and they've got to give way to pedestrians.
Mm.
So that's the rule. So the pedestrians are the vulnerable people on the footpath. So we need to protect you guys, especially those who are out running and jogging and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, so the pushies, they can ride up on the footpath, but like I said, they've got to be on the left.
Well, you saying they have to be on the left, does that mean we as pedestrians should always try and stick to the right?
Well, yeah, where possible, Margot. So if you're running, you know, with the ocean at your left, then, you know, you need to be on the right side there. So
why is it called a footpath?
Hey? Look, it's one of those things, Luke, that, you know, we just want everybody to share the road, and unfortunately we have some people of the community that like to take all the road, all the footpath, and sometimes, you know, half the beach just to get exercise. And, you know, we just ask people, like, you know, people running, they're more vulnerable. So let's give them a bit of space and let's ride around them. You got a pushy, you got some pedals, you're probably covered in Lycra. So, you know, make room.
Okay, Braden, I've got another one for you. On the weekend, I was with my kids. We were walking on the footpath and they were riding scooters. What's the etiquette? Because I feel like as much as I tried to contain, you know, 8 or 9 kids and say, you know, stay to one side, single file, don't go too fast, be careful of the people, you know, be considerate and all of those sorts of things, I still feel like they were almost, you know, the cyclists were annoyed by their presence just even being on the footpath.
Are we talking about those ones that they hire out in Surfers Paradise?
No. Just normal, you know, kids' scooters. They're like 7, 5, 9.
Well, scooters.
Oh, scooters, right.
Just
gotcha.
Foot scooters, you know, just pushing along on a metal razor scooter type thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing, Margo. They've got to give way to pedestrians. They can be up there.
Yep.
But again, it's like herding cats with greyhounds sometimes, just, you know, kids on scooters because they get excited and want to do little wheelies and jumps and
story of my
looking
life.
Around all their friends. Yeah.
Well, what about those electric ones? Because in Surfers on the weekend, there's a dude on like, and his girlfriend, they're going around on like these moped sort of things that are, you know, like
an electric scooter.
Yeah, effectively electric motorbikes. Can they?
Yeah.
They're up on the footpath.
I guess there's a bit of a grey area of those at the moment. If they have pedals and a chain,
right,
then they are technically classed as a push bike.
Oh, okay.
Which is we're fighting to get that changed. We're fighting to get them off the footpaths and pretty much altogether off the roads because they are a menace.
Right.
And they are normally in the hands of people with very limited brain capacity.
just finally, Senior Sergeant, it's still legal to push a cyclist over if he's getting in your way, isn't it?
It depends what he's wearing. No, don't do that.
Like Luke who run in their budgie smugglers? Yeah, that's a crime, isn't
even,
it?
Could you even catch Luke who runs that far?
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
It was actually a funny story. I was listening to the guys this morning. They were talking about some bloke who, I guess he had a big weekend. Not sure exactly how he ended up in this state, but he went missing. They thought he was a missing swimmer here on the coast.
Oh, terrible.
It was down one of our southern beaches. No, it's not. He wasn't even swimming. They found him passed out. And they believe he may have even been drunk. They're not quite sure, but he was drunk in a phone box.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so they were sent out like, and they were trying to...
Like a search party.
Yeah, there's like a search party sent out for him and he's sleeping in a phone box and... Yeah, well,
it's a little bit like that time that you went out looking for the fisherman and he was asleep in his boat.
Over the holidays, I spent a whole day searching for a fisherman who apparently had fallen off his boat at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Lost at sea.
Yeah, and we spent a day just going over the ocean, combing over the ocean, looking for this guy because he was lost at sea and he was sleeping the whole time in the cabin. Mm. And they didn't know.
All those lost fish caught.
And this guy was sleeping in a telephone box and everyone was talking about it this morning. Like, you know, like I guess he went to the telephone box to make a call or whatever and he passed out and then...
Didn't quite make it.
The most incredible part of the story for me is not that...
He was probably telling a bad story at the bar and somebody said, here's 40 cents, go and tell someone who cares.
Well, this is where I went. This is the most incredible part of the story to me is that we still have phone boxes.
Yeah.
I have not seen a phone box here on the Gold Coast. I cannot tell you
no
anyone in my life that still uses a phone box.
Well, no one would they?
Well, old mate does. He sleeps in them.
I've been to remote villages in Fiji and Bali and even they have mobile phones.
Yeah.
Like so poor, third world countries, and there they are on their Facebook on their mobile phone.
When was the last time you made a phone call?
I don't actually think I've ever made one. Never.
I don't think I've made one in 10 years, at least. Like, I definitely used to make them going back 20 years ago, but I cannot recall. And I'm racking my brain right now, and 13 27 10 is our number, if you know of any here. But do we still even have phone boxes on the Gold Coast?
Well, I know at my local shopping centre they have the pay phones just outside the toilet.
Who's using them?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen anyone use it. Like maybe young kids whose parents, like me, probably would be really strict and say, no, you can't have a phone because I don't want you to be affected by social media. So you just ring me on the paid phone.
And how much is it for a call these days?
Oh, I don't even know. Like, it used to be 40 cents, didn't it?
I don't...
Because there was that saying, go and tell someone who cares, here's 40 cents.
Yeah, someone will fling you 20 cents.
Now you can do call back charges? You know, what was that number you used to dial?
Like reverse numbers.
Reverse numbers.
Reverse call. Yeah.
And there was like, do you accept taking a reverse charge call? And it was like $2.
Hey, but are our phones going Brixie?
They're going
just
off.
Just take one. I want to know whether we've got phone calls here. Like where we've got phone boxes. Who's still using them? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, mate, you're on air. What? Where have you seen one?
Well, if you go out Currumbin Valley, Tally Valley as well, Tally Creek Road and Currumbin Creek Road, out in the middle of nowhere, there's just a random phone box. And I used it the other day because I got no reception out there for work.
Don't tell us, mate. Just wait one sec.
I had to call the boss.
Okay, wait one sec. Just slow down. How much do you reckon it cost him, Margo, to ring his boss? I'm going to say a call these days is $1. What do you say?
Yeah, I was going to say
$1. 50 cents for a landline.
Still 50 cents.
That's good.
That's all right. So, and you reckon they've got him out there, mate, because we don't have reception anywhere else?
Well, quite possibly. I still see phone boxes everywhere. My partner always makes jokes with me because if we're out driving and I see one, I go, look, another random phone box.
I haven't seen them.
I find them quite amazing too, mate. So,
hey, let's just talk to Monique from Mudra Bar. Thanks for your call, brother. Appreciate it. Hey, Monique, what did you want to say? Monique.
Hey, guys.
Yo, you're on air. What did you want to say?
Oh, I just wanted to say they've still got a phone box at the Robina train station.
Right. Do people use it?
I think so. I've seen kids and stuff use it before. I used to use it all the time when I was a kid and I didn't have a phone. So
yeah, back in the day.
That was always pretty handy.
You know what? The phone's there now. A lot of the train stations have them, but it's not for making a phone call. It's so you can use the receiver to defend yourself late at night.
Or to ring the police and ask for help.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Cyclone Omo. What sort of name
Omar.
Is it? Omar. It's Omar. It's out there at the moment, and it's like it could be coming in towards us. There's some maps that have it tracking right in towards our coastline. Others are going to keep it well out to sea. But one thing that will definitely happen is it's going to have an impact on us here at the moment. Here this week on our Gold Coast beaches, the swell we've got around at the moment is not because of this cyclone, but that cyclone swell is going to start hitting us later in the week, and we could see some beach erosion. We thought we might get the head honcho on the Mr. Buck Stops Here man, our fearless leader, our Mayor Tom Tate, to find out how the city is preparing for the onslaught. G'day, Tom. How are you, mate?
Mate, good to be on the Rush Hour with you and Michael Parker.
Hey. It's good to have you back, mate.
Yeah.
It's been a while between drinks.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
He's been on holidays.
Yeah,
we've had acting Mayor Donna Gates filling in for you every time we've tried to get you on the show, mate. You've been busy. Where have you been gallivanting around, having a holiday out here?
Yeah, we went skiing in Vail and in Vegas. So just to get away a little bit. But Donna's done a great job, so I didn't have much to do when I get back.
I'll tell you what, and I saw some photos of you, Tom. I hope you don't mind me sharing with the audience, but I thought you looked awesome on the slopes in your mayoral robes. A lot of people didn't know this, Margo, but he actually skis in his full mayoral robes. It's pretty awesome stuff. Hey, how are you preparing, Tom? What are we doing with regards to beach erosion? Looks like we might suffer a little bit this week.
Yeah, first up, we've got about 3 million cubic metres stashed away up on near the spit there. So we're getting ready with our heavy equipment. So should Cyclone Omar head towards this way, we're expecting it to be Thursday or Friday. But here's hoping that it will swing south and we'll flick past it to New Zealand if we can. Right. And so that's what we're hoping to do. But meanwhile, equipment and everything, we'll get ready for it. You know?
New Zealand gave us Russell Crowe. Let's give him Omar.
They're going to have Omar, whatever cleans them up. That's good.
Not to be confused with the dishwashing liquid. It's been upgraded to a Category 3. Surfers Paradise Beach has been closed. Is that correct?
That's correct. And basically, the rips are pretty strong up in the northern beaches. The swell will all come in. The southern beaches are still open. So if you're a strong swimmer, good surfer, you know, still check with the lifeguards and make sure that you know what the water's doing and really take care. But for all those people that at home, before Thursday, get ready, you know, like clean your gutters or get batteries, the radio that runs on batteries and things like that.
Yeah, well, we're not going to see much rain here. We won't see much rain here on the coast, but, you know, the thing is we've got a full moon this week as well, so Mother Nature hasn't been kind to us, Tom, because we're going to have the big tides on. Our biggest tide's going to be on Wednesday, and the biggest swell's going to hit us on Thursday, so it's just...
Should we be sandbagging?
No. Like, well, on the beaches.
Yet, but we've got plenty of sandbags available at various depots for free, if you want to get ready and grab some of that, but at the moment... I haven't sent out the signal to go and grab it. It's a watch and see at the moment. I'll say some more on Wednesday.
Right. Luke doesn't need sandbags on the level 19 of his Sky home. But those of us plebs who live down on the ground floor, we might need those free sandbags. No, Tom.
We don't need to scare people, because honestly, we're not going to see much rain.
It's like that heat wave you said we were going to get last week.
I'll tell
week.
You right now, Margo, the Bureau for tomorrow and for Wednesday have given us a 0% chance of rain here on the Gold Coast. So we're just going to get
lots of swell.
Yeah, just big swell.
Yeah, okay.
And so erosion is our main concern.
So great for surfing.
Yeah, good for surfing. You will see Tom out there in his budgie smugglers tearing it up on your mayoral boogie board. I can't wait to see it. Hey, we'll keep up to date with you through the week and find out. And as you said, a lot of those northern beaches have been closed, so we'll keep an eye on that as well. Always good talking to you, Mayor. We love you. Thanks for your
good
time.
On you.
See you later.
Thanks, Tom.
There he goes.
Cheers.
Mayor Tom Tate. There was a dude on 60 Minutes last night who's fathered over 100 children, and I don't want to be cruel, Margo.
It wasn't Ben Hannett, was it?
He wasn't Benny Hannett, no. This guy on 60 Minutes was as ugly as a hatful. I mean,
I wouldn't want to take his sperm for free.
It should be illegal for him to reproduce, I think.
It should be.
For the benefit of mankind. But
we're trying to cull those genetics out, not encourage them.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
I don't know if you watched 60 Minutes last night, but I tell you what, I watched and...
God, I love Liz Hayes.
You know, she was pretty good last night. So
she was brutal.
If you missed it, there was this American dude.
Joe Doner.
Well, that's not his real name.
That's what he calls himself.
It's his alias. But what he does is he goes around and gets women pregnant that need sperm donors.
He preys on vulnerable women and men, Luke, are in a very, very tough spot.
That's your take on it. He says he's just helping people out. And he's fathered about 100 kids in America, and now he's in Australia. And according to him, he's going to be sort of inseminating around 15 Australian women. Now, it can cost you about $15,000 to go through the legitimate channels, or you can go see Joe Doner and he gives it to you for nothing. But he is one of the ugliest and most vile looking human beings I think I've ever seen, and he's just creepy on every level.
He's creepy and awkward and like just like some of the things that were coming out of his mouth last night, I was like, is this guy for serious?
I can't believe anyone. I get that you want a kid, and I get that you desperate people do desperate things, but how desperate are you got to be to go, that's the guy I want to be my father of my children?
I think this was just an easy way for him to get something, because he clearly can't get it on his own. So he has to utilise, you know, his bodily fluids as a way of,
oh, so disgusting,
of getting something. Let's have a little listen to what Liz has had to say to him last night.
Can I move on to the law in Australia?
To which?
The law in Australia. Natural insemination is not a donation. Do you realise that?
I'm trying to get people pregnant. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. Those people take your money. I give you a result. The results of pregnancy.
The reason I'm telling you that is that every time you have a child as a result of a natural donation here in Australia, you are legally dead.
This is, again, a theory.
No, it's the law.
Again, this is a theoretical risk. And if you want to have children, if you want to succeed, you just have to go out there and grab the world by the balls and do what you got to do.
This is some narcissistic power trip.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
So not only are you going to get a baby that is genetically flawed, you're now going to get a baby that's genetically dumb.
Oh, far out. And you know what? He's a BS-er to this guy, because not that there's anything wrong with being a blood nut, there's nothing wrong with being a ranger, but this guy's a ranger.
And he's a bald ranger.
He's a bald ranger. Yeah. And did you see what he was passing himself off as? Strawberry blonde. He did. He said he was strawberry blonde. Well, and I'm like, you're not strawberry blonde, mate. You're Ed Sheeran ranger, mate. There's nothing wrong with it, but be what you are.
One of the first couples that he stopped to see on his trip here to Australia was a couple in Melbourne, and her first initial thoughts when she walked up to him to collect him at the airport was, geez, he's short.
He's short, isn't he? And then there was another couple, and they were in a same-sex marriage. It was two girls from Victoria. And I went, oh, they must be really desperate. You know, they must be trying through all the channels.
Have a baby for a long time.
And then Liz is there going, you know, I don't know what the girl's name was. I'm going to call them Cheryl and Tanya. Cheryl and Tanya already have 7 children. And I'm like, what? They had 7 kids.
They don't even need him.
Now they want an 8th with this guy. I'm like, are you joking? And I don't know if you saw it, Margot, but my favourite part was how casual he was about handing over the goods to the couples. Like, he'd just knock on the door and then they'd open the door and then he'd just hand them a vial.
Like a pizza delivery.
It was exactly like a pizza delivery. And it all happened so quickly. And they were like, thank you. And he's like, see you later. And off he shuffled. And then that was it. And then they went off to do whatever they were going to do.
You probably want it to be as short as possible because it would be so awkward.
Well, it was. Like, in fact, it was so quick. I don't know if you saw on 60 Minutes last night, but they changed the name to 60 Seconds with this guy. Anyway, enough of that. That guy was so vile. My TV set threw up last night just watching that guy.
Oh, I just feel sorry for people that feel that this is their only option.
That was my TV set halfway through the story last night.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
It was revealed over the weekend, Margo, that we're getting the Logies back here on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, we certainly are over at the Star at Broadbeach. It looked pretty good last year, just from what I saw on TV.
Well, this is the remarkable thing, because last year it was just a massive weekend. I don't know who planned it this way, but
it was on a Sunday. What a silly night.
But what they did was, it was the Sunday of the Gold Coast Marathon.
Yeah.
So, like, most of the city's sort of swelling with, you know, runners, and everyone's coming to town for the marathon. And then we had the Logies as well. So it was just a massive weekend. And I'm not sure if it's on the same weekend as the Gold Coast Marathon again this year, but you tell the story about how much this goes to show how much Margot thinks of the Logies. And it amazes me, because quite frankly, Margot, I've never met anyone who's more of a social butterfly than you. Like, if there was an opening of a milk bar in Springwood and there was a chance you might get in the social pages or pick up an Instagram follower if you went to it, you'd go to it. If they said, okay, some kid in Springwood is going to be opening a lemonade stand at 1:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, and there's a chance Margo might pick up an Instagram follower, she'd be there.
I would so.
You would be there. You'd be there in a like in your bathrobe and Instagram live feeding it and all this sort of stuff. And yet you had a chance to go to the Logies last year.
And I didn't go.
Why didn't you go?
Well, Corey had run, like you said, the Gold Coast Marathon coincided on that day last year, and Corey had run in the marathon. So between supporting him and then getting four kids back up to halfway up to Brisbane, to where we live in Logan, getting them organised, dinner, bath, bed, trying to get myself to look beautiful. Like, it wasn't one of those days where, you know, when you're the starlet and you're attending the Logies, you're in hair and makeup from 8 a.m. and somebody brings you, you know, champagne and a fruit platter, and you get to swan around in your robe in the hotel room all day and then get dressed at 3 o'clock to be on the red carpet at 4, because that's what they've got to
do. You were just going to be rushed.
I was going to be rushed and rushed and rushed. And it was probably at a time in my life where I wasn't feeling 100% comfortable with my weight. I didn't want to find a dress that fitted me in the size that I was, which was a size 16, 18 at the time. And I was just feeling pretty, you know, rubbish about myself bodily wise. So the body confidence wasn't there.
Really?
I couldn't find a dress. I was rushed. I was trying to get kids organised. Corey had to be on the red carpet at 3:30 because he was attending with Fox Sports, because he commentates for them. He's a presenter with them. So he was going in along, you know, with them as a group, and then I was coming in and going to meet him in there later. And so I rushed, I got the kids ready, I got to the hotel, and I literally had like maybe 15 minutes before I had to be downstairs to be picked up. And I just couldn't be bothered.
He just went
back. I just was like, you know what? I'm going to take the silver lining at this moment, and I'm going to put on my hotel robe, hop into bed, and like binge on, you know, movies, because you get those free movies because they put us up for the night. So I ordered in room service. I got, you know, a steak, I think.
So hang on a second, mate.
Even though hot chocolate.
Even though you were invited to the Logies and the Logies put you up for the night, and you stayed at the hotel that the Logies put you up in, which was where the event was being held.
Yeah.
You still didn't even then watch it on TV.
Well, I kind of did.
Oh, you did?
I watched a bit of it, and then I watched a movie.
Well, I've never been. Have you been?
Not before. This is the first time it's been held here on the Gold Coast last year. And prior to that, it's always in Sydney.
Can I tell you? No, it's been in Melbourne. Melbourne for 100 years. But years ago, this is going back 12 years ago, because I always remember, because my brother had a sports TV show on the ABC, and it literally debuted the night that Coralie was born. And so he had a choice: do I go and watch Coralie get born, or do I sit at home and watch the debut of my TV show?
Yeah.
And he came up to the hospital, but he went to the Logies that year.
Yeah.
The ABC sent him down. ABC got no money, but they send Ashley down to the Logies and they put him in a limo. But what they did was, it was just a limo that just went round the block.
Yeah.
So he had to walk around the block, hop in the limo to rock up to the Logies. And anyway, he gets up there, and you know how they do the red carpet?
Yep.
So the photographers come in. How do you reckon Ashley's ego was with this? This is what happens. He rocks up, and then the door opens, and all these photographers shove their head into the limo to see who it is, because they're like, oh, you know, is it Lisa McKeown? Is it Daryl Summers? And a photographer shoves his head in, has a look around the limo, and then reports back to the other photographers and goes, nah, nobody.
Oh.
That's all he said. And then they just walked away.
He said, no, no, it's Ash Bradnam, not Luke.
They just walked away.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.